But just because your brain sends the message doesn't mean it's perfectly calibrated to get your ideal result. Not all demands that trigger stress will be fixed by eating a whole pint of ice cream, which is why it's critical to know exactly what your brain is saying and how to respond the right way. Welcome to the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, where we talk about applying high-leverage psychology in your business and life. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, licensed psychologist, private practice owner, speaker, executive coach, and consultant. I became a psychologist to learn how to leverage psychology and help others do the same. For over a decade, I've been tracking how psychology gets in the way of smart and results-driven people. For years, I've developed frameworks and tools to help them leverage psychology instead to launch themselves forward. It's my mission to share my hard-earned lessons with you so you can launch yourself forward too. I can't wait to talk high-leverage psychology with you so you can learn to take higher leverage action today. Let's talk high-leverage psychology. Today, I am posing a big question. Is emotion the key to performance? You'll hear my answer and how to practically use emotions to fuel your performance. So let's get to it. Have you ever had a day when you wished you could just drop everything? Feeling low energy, tired, or completely drained? It's rough and can have a big impact on productivity, on moving the needle forward. People often point the finger at burnout and look for the causes, or blame their exhaustion. They'll pound an energy drink or have their fourth cup of coffee. But the exhaustion isn't the problem. It's the messenger. To show you how, I need to take you on a trip down memory lane. When I was a kid, I got bullied. At the time, I had no idea why, and I felt helpless to do anything about it. Later, I learned that when a kid wears their heart on their sleeve, they can end up being a target for bullying. I mean, even my family called me a sensitive kid. Too sensitive. My grandmother, bless her heart, she even had a nickname for me. She said it in Farsi, Gole Pesar. In English, that translates to flower boy. She called me Gole Pesar until the day she died. And I think she meant beautiful, but it also felt like it meant everyone knew that I was fragile, that I was delicate, emotionally vulnerable, not particularly empowering. As a kid, it felt like I was being called wimpy, overly sensitive, and touchy. But why do emotionally expressive kids get bullied? Don't we want to teach people to be genuine and expressive? Here's the thing. Kids are in a learning mode. So when they see big reactions, it grabs their attention. Whether a belly laugh, big anger, or bursting into tears, doesn't matter. So they try again, 100 different ways, to see what happens, to learn. They keep poking and prodding and calling names. Unfortunately, as a kid, it was at my expense because I was the one who reacted big. The kicker for me was that my emotions felt automatic, out of my control, bigger than I could handle. For me, that made my emotions the enemy, something I had to come to control, something I had to come to grips with. It wasn't until much later that I realized how very wrong I was on so many levels, even the most basic one. Do you know that emotions are not hardwired into our brains? Even the basic emotions that almost every culture and person on the planet feels and expresses. I thought that my emotions were genetically encoded, something I had to wrestle away from my ancient brain by trying to use some kind of evolved logical skill, my thinking brain. Spock-like, if you get the Star Trek reference. It took another couple of decades to really unpack how my thinking about emotions actually got in the way of my performance, and sometimes still does to this very day. Which is why I'm unpacking how to understand and use emotions to create peak performance and reach your goals faster. Because I had to learn it the hard way, and I want to give that to you without the scar, without the pain. So here we go. Here's how your brain, performance, and emotion work together, starting from the ground up. Your brain takes in tons of information from inside your body, from your five senses, and everything going on around you. Plus, it cross-references everything with your memories, all your relevant past experiences. And then it uses all of that info to help you set goals, motivate you, and predict what will keep you alive and thriving. In other words, what to do in order to get the most out of life. It uses all that info to tell you when to go all in and when to pump the brakes, when something is worth the effort and when it isn't, when to stay the course and when to change it up. At the core, that's what emotions are. Messages put together by your brain. And then your brain sends the message all over your body. Now, if you could crack the code of how and why those messages are designed to help you perform optimally and reach your goals, you could maximize your performance in work and any area of life. Here's a quick example. Stress often makes me feel tense in my shoulders and back, or it makes me crave carbs like a madman. Here's how I think of it. When that happens, my brain is sending a specific message to my muscles and to my gut. What message? Stress says there's a high demand. Stress shows up when there are relevant stakes and it's a strain on your resources to deal with, whether that's time, money, skill, or any other kind of limitation that puts pressure. So simply put, stress equals stakes times strain. So your brain tells your body to get ready. And it does that by tensing my muscles like athletes do just before a kickoff, before a game starts. And it's telling my body to be more resourced. So it fills my brain with the desire to eat carbs so that I'm ready to take on the demand, to rise to the stakes and to overcome the strain. But just because your brain sends the message, doesn't mean it's perfectly calibrated to get your ideal result. Not all demands that trigger stress will be fixed by eating a whole pint of ice cream, which is why it's critical to know exactly what your brain is saying and how to respond the right way. To use it to put yourself in peak performance and keep you there for longer, getting you to your goals faster, putting you miles ahead of your competition. Real quick, do you remember the first time an episode resonated with you? Let's give more people that feeling of insight, clarity, and direction. If an insight from today's episode lights up your brain, share it. It takes less than a minute and could light up someone else's day too. It would mean the world to me because all I want to do is help more people unlock their potential, maximize their fulfillment, and make life easier and happier. Shared joy is doubled joy. So let's build momentum and spark more insight and clarity for more people. If you feel like it will, take a moment to share today's podcast. Here's the simple breakdown. Emotions send us three kinds of messages. Number one, messages about your body. Feeling hangry is pretty legit. It might be your brain telling your body that you need nutrition. That irritation might be your brain in action and energy-seeking mode. It can cut off everything else, including other people while they're talking. Because your brain doesn't believe it has the energy to spare, it can only focus on priority number one, your nourishment. Feeling exhausted might mean your body is depleted of its resources and energy. Maybe it's saying that you need a mental break, physical recovery time, or a snack. Maybe it's telling you about cycles that you have throughout the day, or maybe it's telling you that it's important to have consistency as far as resourcing yourself. Knowing what the message means and how to translate it into the most effective action makes all the difference here. For example, do you need a snack or a full meal? Are you spiking your blood sugar or giving your body long-term fuel? These are really important points to understand, that your emotion's not giving you the full answer. What it's doing is drawing your attention to a need. It's sending a message, and it's your job to think about and unpack and understand that, maybe even to track it and to address it in the most effective way, not just right now, but long term. Number two, messages about your behavior. Emotions are like the gas, brakes, and steering of a car. If we didn't have them, we'd probably keep doing the exact same thing in the same way. Kind of like being on cruise control, driving down a highway straight to the Grand Canyon. Without brakes, we'd end up going over the cliff or smashing into something along the way. The way a woodpecker is biologically wired to hammer its beak into a tree. When we feel excited, it often tells us to put in the necessary effort to get to our goal. Without excitement, you'd be very unlikely to book a flight, a hotel, and buy tickets to your favorite show, or to start a business or pursue a deal. Feeling anxious can mean it's important to prepare for something. Otherwise, it could turn out badly. When people blame their emotions, what really happened is they chose the wrong action and they're unhappy with the result. Or they think that the emotion and their action, their decision, their behavior is the problem. But that response, even that thought process, could be a message unto itself. And for a lot of people, instead of looking at and trying to respond better next time, they end up shooting the messenger. In other words, blaming and putting down their emotions. Number three, messages about your brain. Sometimes a reaction is drawing your attention to an expectation or belief. Like surprise tells you that you expected one thing to happen, but something else did. It's there to get you to realize and adjust your thinking or mindset to be more in line with reality or accomplishing your goals. Here's another example. Sometimes fear is telling you that there is real danger. But sometimes the danger isn't real, it's imagined. And in that case, fear is responding to your memory or to a belief or assumption. When fear shows up in an unrealistic way, it's telling you more about your brain than about reality. What it's uncovering for you is that you assume or believe there's danger, which is an opportunity to update your brain and your thinking to be more in line with reality. One of the biggest differences between the top performers and people who struggle is how they navigate these emotional messages. People who constantly get caught up and respond badly tend to struggle more. But when you can pinpoint the message, you can respond better. And when you respond better, you move forward faster. Here's what I've learned can happen when you get clear on the messages. Number one, you understand your body better and consistently keep your body and brain resourced, which will make you primed for peak performance. If you don't get the right kind of nutrition, rest, and get your biochemistry in order, it will throw you off. Your energy can be all over the map and unpredictable. And then your brain has no idea how to set aside the energy, how to plan and be ready to do its best work. For you to be ready to do your best work, because it's too busy trying to manage the chaos of your body and energy levels. Number two, you create the right routines and adjust your decisions and actions for maximum impact. Being adaptive, agile, and effective in what you do comes directly from recognizing the things that are most worthwhile and the things you need to change. The way your brain does that is by sending those messages to you in the form of emotions, which is why emotions are critical in decision making, because we do what we think is worthwhile and what we believe will get us closer to our goals. Number three, you see the world as it is, not as you are. Sometimes emotions put you on track. Sometimes they're pointing to an error in your view of the world, showing you the difference between how you think the world works and how it actually does. Recognizing the difference can help you shift your actions, perceptions, or beliefs. Seeing the world more realistically means your decisions and actions are more likely to get the results you're looking for. When Roger Bannister officially broke the 4-minute mile in 1954, nearly every other athlete and coach had believed it couldn't be done. Nobody had come close in decades, but within a year, people were breaking it left and right. Our limitations, whether in performance or achievement, may just boil down to what we think we can accomplish. And how we think is deeply affected by the way we're feeling and how we interpret and respond to those feelings. As long as I held on to the assumption that my emotions were a problem, I stayed stuck in a loop, ignoring, pushing them away, and mixing up their signals, clamping down on them, like bending a hose in half to stop the water gushing out. Once I stepped out of it and learned how to interpret my emotions, a whole new world of opportunity and change opened up, not just for me, but for my clients too. So take the time to slow down and learn how to leverage the message of your emotions to move forward faster. And on that note, I'll see you next week. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast is produced by Dr. Yishai and PodTech. Music by www.purple-planet.com. Dr. Yishai is a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with the guest or listener. The information contained in this publication is for general informational purposes only and shall not be relied on or construed as coaching advice or therapy. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thanks again for listening. I hope today's episode fulfilled my mission to help you leverage psychology better in your business and life.